Holy Letters of the Rebbe in volume 17. This is letter number 6415. This is a letter. We had many letters to Rabbi Zevin. Baruch Hashem, dated the 23rd day of Tammuz, Tavshin Yud Ches, Brooklyn. And Rebbe is addressing it with very special titles over here, Rav Hagon, Rav Chosid. And the Rebbe uses the title over here, Tzinmo Mole Safro. It's like a bucket full of books. You know, somebody who knows a lot, he calls it like a Tzinmo Mole Safro. Moreinu Shlomo Yosef Sheyichia Zevin. And of course, we know he was the author of Encyclopedia Talmudis, as well as many other works. And he actually gave the Rebbe, sent the Rebbe one of his latest works, a second edition, and the Rebbe is responding to that. The Rebbe says, Shalom Uvracha, peace and blessing. The Rebbe says, it is with thanks, I want to confirm receiving your Sefer, which is Ishim Vishitim Madura Shnia. Ishim Vishitas mean he describes over there various different personalities and their styles of study. And this was the second edition, and the Rebbe is confirming receiving that. Also, the Rebbe said, I did receive over the period of time, I've received the information that you participated, Your Honor, both in the Fabringen in Yerushalayim, the holy city of Yerushalayim, and in Kfar Chabad, and also that you restarted the study and the class of Tanya that you started, and you did it and started over again to start that class back again. So the Rebbe is reporting by that. So the Rebbe says blessings for him. And the Rebbe says, V'hirotzen, that for many more years you should increase strength to Torah. And the Rebbe says many times, Torah Timima. You know, Torah Timima means a whole Torah, but in the context, the whole Torah meaning all sections of Torah, the revealed part of Torah and the esoteric part of Torah. Of course, he wrote the book of personalities and views, Torah, that's more in the revealed part of Torah, but then he gives the class of Tanya, that's Hasidic, esoteric part, and the Fabringens. So the Rebbe says you should increase more strength and force for Torah in a complete Torah, which is the revealed and the esoteric, the Galia and the Sosum. And in such a way that these two sections of Torah, they should be complete, they should be whole. What does it mean? The Rebbe said truly whole when we talk about one Torah. So normally we talk about these are two sections. There is a section of revealed part of Torah and then there is esoteric. But when we say a whole, it means that within the revealed part of Torah, you should be able to recognize that it's really one with the esoteric part of Torah. That you shouldn't look at it, it shouldn't come across as it's a different, separate section, but it should be like one. And also in the esoteric part, to see that this is one with the revealed part of Torah. Basically, that these two sections of Torah should be bound together so that in the esoteric you feel the revealed and in the revealed you feel the esoteric. And Rebbe says that based on what is explained in the Holy Letters of the Alter Rebbe in chapter 26 and in many other places, so this idea of spreading the wellsprings to the outside, which means not only yourself studying the esoteric part of Torah or the wellsprings, which is Chassidus. So it's explained that today it's not just a time-bound mitzvah. You know, we have certain mitzvahs which are time-bound. So we're saying now is the time of spreading out, but this is something which is necessity. This is an absolute necessity now. And the Rebbe says we can actually see this vividly in practice. It's a life importance necessity, because learning the esoteric, the inner part, Chassidus, the Mayonis, is important to be able to perform mitzvahs. Because mitzvahs, on mitzvahs, we say you have to live v'chai b'hem. And the study of Chassidus inspires or helps the brings the person to doing the mitzvahs so that he can have life, because mitzvahs are life, and you need that part of Torah to invigorate. Especially, the Rebbe says, during our period now in history, there are a tremendous amount of challenges, tests, there's obscurity and blocks, and our sages already of blessed memory spoke about this in the Talmud when they talked about the heels of the Mashiach, the difficulty and the challenges and the obscurity, and how the world will be, you know, in a very low state at that time. And the Rebbe says, you know, sometimes even when there is an expectation, though, the Talmud says these things will happen in the heels of Mashiach, it doesn't have to be literally, it doesn't have to be fully, but unfortunately, the Rebbe says, Baba Niseinu HaRabim, this has been fulfilled. All these terrible attitudes and the lack of interest in Yiddishkeit and Torah and mitzvahs and with the generations, not only have they been coming true in a refined or refined or refined, sometimes it doesn't have to be so glaring in your face kind of these negative, that would be sort of suffice to fulfill the prophecy of the Talmud that this is what's going to take place. But here the Rebbe says we're actually experiencing fully the disrespect, the neglect, and all of the matters that discussed over there. And the Rebbe says, he gives an example. Sometimes we find something on a very literal way, but it can also be in a more refined, on a different level, not in literally. For example, the Rebbe brings in the bracket over here, the Alter Rebbe explains in the Geres HaTshuva, in the end of chapter 7, you have idol worship. Now, idol worship, what does it mean? Idol worship, you know, you go and bow down or you accept the idol as a god, right? So that's called Avodah Zarah, the strange service, the service of idols. But the Alter Rebbe writes, you can be worshiping idols not by bowing down, accepting some other religion, but even if you look away from tzedakah, which means if you're looking away or getting angry or one who has arrogance, in many cases in the Gemara. In other words, you don't necessarily have to worship idols in order in a refined way, so you have an extension of it in a more delicate way. And even in those situations, as the Alter Rebbe explains, that would be a form, sort of, a form of Avodah Zarah. So the Rebbe says, all these bad predictions that'll take place at the heels of Mashiach, they could have been fulfilled. Our sages said that they would have been in a refined way. So the disrespect and the neglect and everything else that is much over there would not be so glaring and so strong. But unfortunately, the Rebbe says, such an extent we have not merited our generations that these promises are actually descending step after step. They're more and more literal. They're becoming really very, very pointed. So the Rebbe said, therefore, we need Chassidus, and we need a study that's going to help, you know, overcome some of these difficulties. And the Rebbe says, I pray, Yiratzon, that this shall be fulfilled, the words that the Rebbe explained in the Maimer. The Rebbe says, I recited this Maimer in the Fabrengen of Yud Beis Yud Gimel Tammuz this year. In the Maimer, he gives the explanation of the saying of our sages, make him may offer dough. God raises from the dust the poor man, the Dao, the one who's poor. So he says, I guess we have to go down all the ways down to the dust, all the ways down to the bottom of the pot, in order to get raised. Make him may offer dough. So he says over there, the meaning is, when we descend until the dust, which means behoyo zaracho kafar ha'oretz, that your seed will be like the sand of the earth. I think what the context here means, the descent will be all the ways down, will be like the dirt, will be in a very, on a very low level. So then it's the time when we say the verse says, when it's that level, then you will burst out. So that means that Yale, the Mashiach, is called the one that bursts out. Yale HaPeres Lefaneinu, which is the Malka Mashiach, which is King Mashiach. So as we are on the lowest and the lowest of level, as we're going down, this is the time for the Mashiach to come, burst out. The Rebbe says, with recognition and with blessings for good news, or with appreciation and blessings for good news in all of your general matters and also in your individual matters. And of course, the Rebbe says, health matters, your bodily health matters, that's included in your personal matters, and that's first and foremost. As the Rambam writes in the Laws of Deis, in the end of chapter 3, with the Rebbe's signature. So that's a very powerful Rebbe, a thank you to him, and an appreciation and a recognition, and discussing the importance of learning Pnimis HaTorah now, as the Rebbe goes on. And now, there is a Nichta B'tzidei, a P.S. over here, which the Rebbe is asking Rav Zevin his opinion. And the Rebbe says, I came across a question this year. A person who passed the international deadline in the middle of Sefira. So he was counting Sefira, and he was coming from Australia. When you pass the deadline, you're going back a day. When you come to this hemisphere, where you come to this part of the world, and you pass the deadline, so you end up losing a day. Over here, it's still the day before. So the question is, you have an extra day in your counting. So if you count, he's going to count Sefira when you come over here, you have an additional day. So the person was questioning, what should he count? Let's say he counted 10 days to the Omer, and now he's back here. Everybody here is counting 10 days to the Omer, but he has already counted 10 days to the Omer. By him, it's supposed to be the 11th day. So he doesn't know what should he count and what kind of a bracha does he make. for the days of Sefira after going through the international deadline. So I pointed out to him that there's even a greater question over here. And the question is, when should you celebrate the festival of Shavuos? Because Shavuos is not a date in the calendar. I mean, we have it today set up, but Shavuos is set up, it's after 49 days you count the Omer, then you make Shavuos. And the question is, since what is your counting and when do you make Shavuos? And the Rebbe says, in my view, it appears, I think, the Rebbe says, as far as counting in the Brocha, although the Rebbe says, it's without a doubt that you have to continue counting the way you continue counting till now, which means you're not going to count 10 and going to count 10 again. I mean, in the example I give, why? Because this is something which is totally made, doesn't make any sense to count two times. And the Rebbe says, and you can actually make a bracha. So you should actually count 11 and make the bracha. But the Rebbe says, being doing better, the verse says, "Miyos Tov," I'll basically, to do better, you're not sure to make a bracha, I suggested to listen to the bracha from somebody who's over here, who's making the bracha, and you have in mind to fulfill your obligation. Now, the other one is making a bracha, let's say, for number 11, for number 10. You're making the bracha for number 11. But the Rebbe says the bracha that you're going to hear from someone else is okay because you're not making the bracha for the particular number, you're making the bracha for counting. The bracha is for the mitzvah, not on the number of the day. Therefore, the fact that the one who's counting, it'll be 30, and to you it'll be 31, doesn't matter. I mean, I use 10, 11, but 30 and 31 in the Rebbe's example. But what do we do about Shavuos? Turns out Shavuos will be one day earlier, man. Since Shavuos is not hinged on the day of the month, it's also not hinged on Beis Din. Beis Din doesn't decide when Shavuos is. But as soon as you finish counting 7 weeks, that becomes Shavuos. So if you counted 49 days, according to the Torah, and by you they're complete, you counted complete days, so then you should celebrate Shavuos by your number. That means one day before the people over here, one day earlier, one day before, because it's by you, that's your 50th day, you counted 49 days, you make Shavuos. This is going to be looking really strange, surprised. People are going to look at it. So the Rebbe says, I instructed him to find at least two other rabbis who are who teach halacha, and they also will agree to this opinion. In other words, don't just rely on me, the Rebbe said. Go find two others that will agree to this. But the Rebbe is saying, since your honor, as in connection with your work and your sforim, it seems that you had to look over many of the responses of the later authors. So the Rebbe says, for sure, if you will find a discussion about this, please let me know. And Rebbe says, and also what your opinion is. I thank you ahead. The Rebbe is asking him to share with him some of the responses that he has seen, and also to give the Rebbe his opinion, what he thinks about it. Okay, so that's one issue the Rebbe is bringing up to him. The Rebbe says, by the way, there's another matter over here. what do you do with regards to a bracha if one is not sure on which day of the Svira he is standing? He's not sure which day. I guess he can't verify. So maybe, I guess he doesn't have the information which day of the Svira he is at. Maybe counting, you can say one or two, you can say both of them if you're not sure which one it is. But the Rebbe says, in your Sefer, it's brought down in Moedim La'alocha, in the chapter that talks about Sfiras Omer. And you quote over there the idea of the Shailos Tshuvos Dvar Avraham. He says his idea is that you cannot make a bracha if you're not sure which day is it. What does counting mean? You're counting, you're saying, I'm giving a number. By definition, counting means that you know clearly what day it is. And it doesn't really fit to make a bracha if you're not sure. So you're not, basically, you're not really counting. If you're saying maybe one, maybe two, if you don't know and you're going to, you can't make a bracha. So the Rebbe says, I also found similarly in a journal, Shari Tzion, looks like it's the year Tofres Tzadik Hei. The Rebbe doesn't have the first page is missing there. Over there, it's also mentioned in the name of Rav Vingrad. It says this would also say, this is a logical thing, but the Rebbe says, but the problem with this is, the Rebbe says, it totally that goes against this idea that if you're going to say that this is true, so then the Rebbe says, any place where the shluchim, at the time that they would sanctify by the sighting of the moon, that's the way they would determine when the month was. So the Rebbe says, the people would never fulfill the mitzvah of counting the Omer properly. Why? And certainly not make a bracha. Why? Because on the 16th of Nisan, when you started counting Sfiras Omer, when the first Omer, that they didn't have yet a clear knowledge when they counted, because they were doing a second day Yom Tov, because they said maybe that's the 15th. So they couldn't make a bracha. So the Rebbe is saying basically all the people that lived in those times, they never could make a bracha because they always had a question if that's true. And in the counting of the Svira, they did not have a very clear knowledge, and therefore they were also lacking that they didn't have all 49 days. So how could it be basically possible, the Rebbe says, that this idea has not been mentioned in the Talmud? Something so surprising like this. So the Rebbe says, the Sefer Dvar Avraham doesn't have it. Now, the Rebbe doesn't have it, and I don't know if he makes this point. So while the Rebbe says it's very logical, but if we accept that point, that really means that when they didn't know in the time of the Shluchim, when they were sent, they weren't sure which day, they could never really count, because the first day of counting was always in doubt. And then they remained in a way that they didn't count fully Sfira. Why is it not mentioned? Finally, the Rebbe also says that in the second edition of your Sefer, I saw an edition with regards to Rav Meltzer, Olav HaShalom. And the Rebbe says, for some time, they related to me that in the years that he lived in Yerushalayim, this is Rav Meltzer, he would occupy himself in the study of the Kabbalah. Not only did he study Kabbalah, but he did it with a chavrusa. So the Rebbe says, I'm interested to know if it's true. And if it's true, the Rebbe says, it's a chaval, the Rebbe says, it's a shame that it's not mentioned in your article about, I mean, Ishim Vishitos, I guess, Rav Meltzer, he probably discusses over him. The Rebbe says, even though directly this is not in your book, Ishim Vishitos, to discuss the Kabbalah study, but the Rebbe brings down a saying, the Rebbe brings down many times, the saying of Rav Tzadik, Rav Chosid, Rav Goen, Rav Hillel Miparich, Rav Hillel Miparich. They asked him one time, why is he so careful in doing mitzvahs? He was exceptionally above and beyond the normal people. He did everything, you know, he would wash his hands like each hand, each time from a full cup. I mean, he's giving an example. And he would make a shear, a full, you know, just to make sure. Why is he so careful with mitzvahs? And he answered, "Ertut aus bichdeya so sich uplegen avart chassidus." He's doing it all so that Hasidic expression, an idea of Hasidic, should make sense to him. So, and the Rebbe is basically saying, your whole book of Ishim Vishitos is actually, all this is to bring about the fact that this Rav Meltzer learned Kabbalah, and, you know, as the Rebbe says, so the Rebbe wants him to sneak it in. This is the whole purpose of everything else. So this is an interesting letter to Rabbi Zevin. Rabbi has, as you can see, a lot of respect for him and appreciation for the work that he does. And the Rabbi asks him to find out or share with him some of the sources and also his own opinion, as the Rabbi says here.